到十五节，还有马太福音二章一到二节、九到十一节。路加福音，在伯利恒之野地里有牧羊的人，夜间安着根刺看守羊群，有主的使者站在他们旁边，主的荣光四面照着他们，牧羊人就甚惧怕。那天使对他们说，不要惧怕，我报给你们大喜的信息是关乎万民的，因今天在大卫的城里为你们生了救主，就是主基督。你们要看见一个婴孩包着布卧在马槽里，那就是记号了。忽然有一大队天兵同那天使赞美神说，在至高之处荣耀归于神，在地上平安归于他所喜悦的人。众天使离开他们升天去了。牧羊人彼此说，我们往伯利恒去看看所成的事，就是主所指示我们的。马太福音，当希律王的时候，耶稣生在犹太的伯利恒。有几个博士从东方来到耶路撒冷说，那生下来做犹太人之王的在哪里？我们在东方看见他的星，特来拜他。他们听见王的话就去了，在东方看见的那星忽然在他们前头行，直行到小孩子的地方，就在上头停住了。他们看见那星就大大的欢喜，进了房子看见小孩子和他母亲玛利亚，就俯伏拜那小孩子，揭开宝盒，拿黄金、乳香、没药为礼物献给他。这是神的话语，阿们。
Thank you to each one who has participated this morning.
谢谢今天早上所有参与侍奉的兄弟姐妹。
I want to thank particularly Silas. I know he's not here at the moment.
我特别想感谢 Silas， 虽然他不在这里。
I forgot to mention him last night among all the many youth leaders that we have.
因为昨天晚上我忘记提到他了，因为他是带领我们青少年团契的。
And he had an Oscar-winning role in the drama.
而且他们在昨天表演的时候，他的演技非常的好。
Christmas presents a challenge.
圣诞节有时候会给我们带来挑战。
It's the challenge of familiarity.
是因为过于熟悉而带来的挑战。
A silent night.
比如平安夜，
Shepherds awakened from their sleep，
牧羊人从睡梦中惊醒，
Wise men bringing gifts，
博士带着礼物来朝拜，
The birth of the Savior of the world，
救主降临人世。
We know what to expect，
我们很熟悉所有故事的来龙去脉了。
We hear it in the carols，
我们在圣诞颂歌里听到。
We find it on Christmas cards，
在圣诞卡上读到。
And we see it in nativity scenes，
也在耶稣降生场景的那些装饰里看到。
But if Christmas presents a challenge for most of us, it is certainly a challenge for preachers.
不只是对我们，对牧师来说，这更是一个挑战。
How do you retell the most famous story in history?
我们将该如何再一次讲述这个历史上最著名的故事呢？
One well-known Canadian author and pastor listed the different ways that he has tried to be creative.
加拿大有一个很有名的牧师，曾经列举了他所有能想到的创意。
One time he included a stunning, extravagant drum solo in the middle of the carol "Little Drummer Boy."
有一次在唱那首小鼓手的歌的时候，他在当中加了一段很夸张的架子鼓独奏。
On another occasion, at a family Christmas Eve service, he preached on Revelation chapter 12.
还有一次是平安夜的家庭礼拜，他选择了启示录十二章来做讲道。
Sometimes called the forgotten Christmas story.
这一章也被称为被遗忘的圣诞故事。
Revelation chapter 12 describes a huge red dragon with 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns.
那启示录十二章写到有一条红龙，七头十角，带着七个冠冕。
And this dragon attempts to eat alive the infant Jesus the moment he is born.
而且这条龙企图在耶稣基督 一诞生的时候就要把它吃掉。
Revelation chapter 12 is the R-rated Christmas story.
所以那一章里写的圣诞故事是限制级的。
Hardly suitable for a joyful family service.
所以在轻松愉快的家庭崇拜的时候并不适合拿来讲。
So Christmas presents a challenge.
所以圣诞节对我们来说是有挑战的。
How can we enter this familiar story?
我们该如何来面对这已经很熟悉的一切呢？
Let's think about some of the main characters.
首先让我们想一下这里面几个主要角色。
What about Mary?
首先是玛利亚。
We know so little about her.
我们对她知道的很少。
We're not even sure of her age.
我们甚至不能确定她的年纪。
Though she was probably just 13 or 14 when the angel Gabriel appeared to her.
当天使加百利向她显现的时候，她可能只有13、14岁。
We do know that she was betrothed to a local carpenter.
我们知道的是，她当时已经和一个木匠有了婚约。
But how did she know him?
可是她怎么认识这个木匠的呢？
Was her marriage arranged?
这是一个家人包办婚姻吗？
What hopes did she have?
她对自己的人生有什么希望呢？
Or think of Joseph.
接下来我们来看一下约瑟。
He could trace his ancestry to the great Judean kings of old.
他的家谱可以追溯到几个伟大的犹大君王。
But by his time, that was all his lineage was, a list of names.
可是到约瑟的时代，这些就只是家谱中的人名而已了。
No scepter, no crown, no royal privilege for him.
约瑟没有权杖，没有王冠，没有王室特权。
But we don't know his age.
我们也不知道约瑟的年纪。
We don't know his hopes.
也不知道他对未来的希望。
We don't even know what he says.
我们甚至不知道他说过什么。
In the Gospels, Joseph never speaks.
因为福音书里面没有记录他说过什么话。
And what about the Magi, the wise men?
那么那些博士就是所谓的智者呢？
In Daniel chapter 3, Magi conspired against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three young Jews who refused to bow to Nebuchadnezzar's golden image.
在但以理书三章里面提到，这些术士想图谋陷害沙德拉、米沙还有亚伯尼哥，因为这三个年轻的犹太人不肯跪拜当时巴比伦王立的一个金像。
The Magi are pagan magicians, astrologers from Babylon.
所以这些人是从巴比伦来的异教徒，他们是术士，是观星象的人。
They followed signs in the sky, not God's revelation in the scriptures.
他们是跟随天上的星象，而不是根据圣经里神给的启示。
And what are the shepherds?
那么牧羊人呢？
They had a noble past.
他们曾经也有显赫的过去。
Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the great Jewish patriarchs of old, were skilled shepherds.
亚伯拉罕、以撒、雅各都曾经是有牧羊人。
David, the glorious king from Israel's history, was a shepherd.
以色列历史上最伟大的大卫王一开始也是牧羊人。
Psalm 95 and Psalm 100 tell us that God pastors his people like a shepherd cares for his flock.
诗篇95还有100章都告诉我们，神如同牧羊人一样看顾我们。
And the most famous poem ever written, Psalm 23, begins, "The Lord is my shepherd."
而诗篇最有名的23篇一开始就写到，耶和华是我的牧者。
Yet by the time of Jesus's birth, this noble past was forgotten.
可是到了耶稣诞生的年代，这些显赫的过去已经被遗忘了。
Shepherds were poor, treated with suspicion, despised and dirty.
人们用异样的眼光来看待牧羊人，因为他们贫穷、肮脏，被别人嫌弃。
So how can we enter the Christmas story?
那么我们今年该如何进入这个圣诞节期呢？
We enter the Christmas story when first we respond to God in obedience.
首先我们是要以顺服来回应神。
This is the response of Mary and Joseph.
因为玛利亚、约瑟也是这样来回应神的。
When Joseph first hears that Mary is pregnant, he wants to divorce her.
当约瑟一开始听到玛利亚怀孕的时候，他第一个想法就是要把她休掉。
But an angel speaks to him in a dream, and Joseph takes Mary to be his wife.
但是一个天使在梦中对约瑟说要把玛利亚娶过来当妻子。
And Mary also submits to the will of God.
而玛利亚也同样顺服了神的旨意。
I am the Lord's servant.May it be to me as you have said, she says in Luke chapter 1, verse 38.
在路加福音一章三十八节里面，他说：“我是主的使女，情愿照你的话成就在我身上。”
Both Joseph and Mary were obedient, no matter the cost.
所以他们两个都顺服神，无论代价是什么。
What might obedience mean for you and for me this Christmas?
那么顺服对你对我来说是代表着什么呢？
For me, it is summed up by this disturbing picture.
对于我来说，这是一幅比较令人不安的画面。
Please. This picture presents me with a choice. What really matters?
这画面逼迫我必须要做一个选择，到底什么是最重要的？
Is it the glitz and comfort of Christmas or the desperate needs of the world?
是享受圣诞节带给我们的浮华舒适，还是想想这个世界上各种迫切的需要？
Micah 6 verse 8 says we are to act justly.Love mercy and walk humbly with our God.
弥迦书六章八节说，我们要行公义，好怜悯，存谦卑的心与神同行。
If those qualities mark my heart this Christmas, I will not only enter, I will embrace Christmas with fresh and renewed passion.
如果我在心里刻下这些神的话语，那么我将会以一个全新的眼光还有热情来看待这个圣诞节。
It's an act of obedience.
这就是我们用来回应神的顺服。
Thank you.
谢谢。
We enter the Christmas story when we welcome the outsider.
我们另外要做的就是我们要接纳那些外来者。
The Magi were foreigners, pagans who planned their lives by the pattern of the stars.
那些博士是外地来的异教徒，是根据天上的星象来决定生活方向的。
So why are they in the Christmas story?
那他们为什么会出现在圣诞节的故事里呢？
Why include the spiritually suspect?
为什么要包含这些在属灵上有怀疑的人呢？
They show that God's desire is to welcome the outsider, the unwanted and the stranger.
所以这就表明神的心意是要接纳外来者，接纳那些不被欢迎的陌生人。
Christmas displays the extravagant hospitality of God's grace.
圣诞节显示了在恩典里面神给了我们多么宽大热情的接纳。
One day a man came to the church that I led as a new young pastor.
很多年前当我刚开始做牧师的时候，有一天我们教会来了一个人。
He was not what we exactly expected.
他看上去和其他人有点不一样。
The man came dressed only in open-toed sandals and shorts.
他来的时候只穿了凉鞋还有短裤。
No shirt.
他没有穿上衣。
He came searching for friendship.
他进来是想多认识一些朋友。
I was not sure what to do.
我当时一下子不知道该怎么办。
Should we tell him to put a shirt on?
我是不是应该让他先穿一件衣服呢？
Should we ask him to leave?
我还是要，是不是要他离开呢？
But the congregation welcomed him.
但是教会的会众接纳了他。
His embarrassing dress code did not matter.
他那令人尴尬的衣着并不是那么重要。
He became part of the church family.
他后来成了我们教会家庭的一员。
And more than that, he found Jesus as Lord and Savior.
而且更重要的是，他认识找到了救主耶稣基督。
If God welcomes heathen stargazers,Surely I can welcome the outsider.
如果神可以接纳异教的占星士，那么我们也可以接纳外来者。
Christmas comes alive as we do this.
当我们这样做的时候，就活出了圣诞节的意义。
We enter the Christmas story as we discover that we are not forgotten.
我们在这个圣诞节也牢牢记住自己没有被遗忘。
This is the joy of the shepherds.
这就是牧羊人所有的喜乐。
The first Christmas night, the shepherds were huddled in darkness, as they had always done.
在第一个圣诞节的夜晚，这些牧羊人和往常一样挤在一起取暖。
No one cared about them.
因为别人都不关心他们。
But though they had nothing, though they were nothing, God gave them everything.
他们似乎一无所有，但是其实什么都有。
Though their noble past was forgotten, they were.God did not forget them.
即使他们显赫的过去已经被人遗忘，但是神没有忘记他们。
They were the first to hear the good news of Christ's birth, the greatest news ever.
他们是最先听到耶稣基督降生的消息的，就是真正的福音。
Christmas can be one of the loneliest times of the year.
圣诞节也可以让人觉得特别的孤独。
We grieve the loss of a loved one.
我们可能会哀悼逝去的爱人。
We miss being with family.
我们可能想念自己的家人。
We watch as others have a good time.
特别是看到别人一家团聚的时候。
We stress as we see debt mount.
我们一想到自己欠的债务，就会觉得压力很大。
Like the shepherds, we too can find ourselves in darkness at Christmas.
就好像那些牧羊人，我们可能也会觉得自己就处在黑暗中。
We too can feel forgotten.
我们也可能觉得被人遗忘，没人关心。
An elderly woman, Stella, was struggling.
有一位老妇人叫 Stella， 她也有同样的困扰。
Her husband had died a few months earlier.
她的先生几个月前过世了。
Now, just days before Christmas, she felt alone.
就在圣诞节到来的前几天，她觉得特别的孤单。
So much so that she decided not to decorate for Christmas.
她心里很忧伤，所以她都不想装饰家里了。
Late that afternoon, a delivery man called with a box.
突然有一天下午，有一个快递员送来一个包裹。
Stella invited him inside.
老夫人就把快递员请进家里。
What is in the box? She asked.
她问说，这个包裹里面是什么呢？
The young man opened the flap.
那个快递员帮她把包裹打开。
Inside.Was a puppy.
里面是一只可爱的小狗。
He picked up the squirming pup.
他把小狗抱起来。
And he explained, "This is for you. He's 6 weeks old, completely housebroken."
然后他对老妇人说，这只小狗是送给你的，它才六个礼拜大，很会捣乱。
The puppy began to wiggle.
小狗这时候很可爱的摇了摇尾巴。
Who sent this? Stella asked.
然后 Stella 就问，是谁送给我的呢？
The man set the animal down and said this.
那个快递员把小狗放下，然后这么说。
The dog was bought last July while its mother was still pregnant.
这只小狗是七月买的，当时它的妈妈还怀孕。
It was meant to be a Christmas gift to you.
这只小狗当时提早就买下，是为了给你当圣诞礼物。
In desperation, Stella again asked, "Who sent me this puppy?"
Stella 越来越着急了，不停地问他，到底是谁送给我的呢？
The man gave Stella an envelope, and as he left, he said, "Your husband." Merry Christmas.
然后快递员给他一封信，说是你的先生，圣诞快乐。说完就走了。
Stella opened the letter.
然后 Stella 把那封信打开。
It was from her husband.
是他先生写的。
He'd written it 3 weeks before he had died.
是先生在自己过世前三个星期写的。
And the letter explained that he had sent this young animal to remind her of him and keep her company when she was alone.
先生写道，他特地把这只小狗买来陪伴 Stella， 所以让她觉得不要那么孤单。
Stella wiped tears from her eyes.
老妇人把眼泪擦干。
And then she picked up the puppy and held it to her neck.
然后把小狗紧紧地抱起来。
As she looked out at the window at the Christmas lights on her neighbor's house, she heard the strains of "Joy to the World" from her kitchen radio.
这时候，她抬头看到窗外邻居家漂亮的圣诞灯饰，又听到厨房收音机里在放《普世欢腾，救主降临》。
And suddenly, she felt the most amazing sensation of peace.
突然，她的心里觉得被一种奇妙的平安包围。
Her heart felt a joy greater than the grief and the loneliness.
他心里那些忧伤、孤独都被巨大的喜乐所替代。
She looked at the dog.
他看看小狗。
It's just you and me, she said.
他说现在就是你和我了。
But you know what? There's a box in the basement.
但是你知道吗？我的地下室里面有一个盒子。
It's got a little Christmas tree in it and some decorations and some lights.
里面有一棵圣诞树，有一些灯，还有装饰。
And there's a major manger scene too.Let's go see it.
还有一个耶稣降生场景的装饰物，让我们把它拿上来吧。
That Christmas, Stella's husband did not forget her.
那个圣诞节 ，Stella 的先生并没有忘记她。
He sent her a puppy as the sign of his love.
他给她送来了一只小狗来象征他的爱。
And joy and peace filled her heart.
所以平安和喜乐充满了这位老妇人的心。
Joy and peace filled the shepherds too.
同样，平安喜乐也充满了那些牧羊人的心里。
To this day, a Savior has been born. The angel announces to them.
因为天使对他们说，今天为你们生了一位救主。
God remembered them.
神记得他们。
And this Christmas, God says to you, you are not in darkness. I remember you.
同样，神也对我们说，我们不是处在黑暗当中，他记得我们。
And I've given you Jesus, the greatest gift ever.
而且神说，我已经把最好的礼物给了你们，就是耶稣基督。
We enter the Christmas story as we discover that we are not forgotten.
所以在这个圣诞节，我们牢牢记住自己不是被遗忘的。
Finally, we enter the Christmas story when we look to the cross.
最后，圣诞节也提醒我们要定睛十字架。
In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the angel tells Joseph to name the baby Jesus because he will save his people from their sins.
马太福音一章二十一节，天使告诉约瑟说，要给新生的婴儿起名为耶稣，因为他要将自己的百姓从罪恶里救出来。
The angel sees beyond the birth of Christ to the cross of Christ.
所以天使在耶稣降生的那一刻就已经看到他最终要走向十字架。
It was a Christmas Eve service sometime in the 1990s.
在九十年代有一次是圣诞节崇拜。
People from the community and congregation had come together to sing carols and celebrate the birth of Christ.
会众聚集在一起来唱圣诞颂歌，庆祝耶稣基督的诞生。
On the platform by the lectern was a nativity display, surrounded by candles in glass jars.
在讲台旁边摆设了一个马槽场景那样的装饰物，周围放了一圈蜡烛，是放在玻璃瓶里面的。
One of the candles had fallen, the flame burning the side of the glass jar.
突然一支蜡烛歪了，然后那个蜡烛的火苗就直接碰到了玻璃壁。
I was to give the Christmas message.
那一天是轮到我做圣诞节崇拜的讲道。
At the very moment I got up to speak, the heat from the candle in the jar cracked the jar.
就在我起身的时候，因为高温，那个玻璃瓶就爆开了。
Lying across my sermon notes were pieces of hot, sharp glass.
然后有一块又热又锋利的玻璃碎片就直接飞到了我的讲稿上面。
I tried to move them so I could deliver the sermon.
我就想把它拨开，这样我就可以看清楚我的讲稿。
One piece stabbed my finger.
就在我那样做的时候，有一个玻璃碎片割伤了我的手指。
And the cut was deep.
而且那个伤口很深。
Blood dripped from my finger all over my sermon notes.
所以血直接从我的手指流到了讲稿上面。
That evening, I preached on the glory of the birth of God's Son from notes covered in blood.
那天晚上，我是看着带有血迹的讲稿。来宣讲神儿子荣耀的诞生。
And for me, the message of Christmas and the message of the cross were powerfully merged.
在我看来，那一刻圣诞节的意义还有十字架的信息就这样有力地结合在一起了。
And that's what Christmas is truly about.
这就是圣诞节真正的意义。
Jesus was born to die.
耶稣基督是为死而生的。
To pay the price for our sin.
他降生是为了给我们的罪付上代价。
To open the way of forgiveness so we can know God personally.
他为我们打通了赦免的道路，让我们能够与神和好。
1 John chapter 4 verse 10 says, Here is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins.
约翰一书四章十节说道，不是我们爱神，乃是神爱我们，差他的儿子为我们的罪做了挽回祭。这就是爱了。
If we look at Christmas just through the tinsel, the toys, the turkey and the trees, all Christmas will be is happy holiday.
如果我们看圣诞节只是看到那些漂亮的装饰、礼物、吃火鸡、圣诞树，那么圣诞节就只是一个开心的假日而已。
But if we see in Christmas the gift of the one who came to bleed on a cross, Christmas becomes the doorway to life.
但是如果在圣诞节我们看到的是那个为我们降生又在十字架上流血牺牲的耶稣，那么圣诞节就向我们打开了通向永生的大门。
We enter the Christmas story when we see the cross.
所以在这个圣诞节我们要定睛在十字架上。
So Christmas comes alive when we walk in obedience.
所以当我们愿意顺服神的时候，圣诞节就变得真实。
Christmas comes alive when we welcome the outsider.
当我们愿意接纳外来者的时候，圣诞节就变得有意义了。
Christmas comes alive as we discover that we are not forgotten.
当我们意识到神没有忘记我们的时候，圣诞节就变得很真实。
And Christmas comes alive when we see the cross.
当我们看到十字架的时候，我们就能真正明白圣诞节的意义。
This Christmas, let us enter the Christmas story.
就让我们以这样的心意来进入今年的圣诞节。
Amen.
Amen.
Pastor Lee.